I'm loving you. What can I do? Tell me what you need. Your wishes I will heed. This I will do.
Oh, I'll write you a love song
using your name.
Tell you that the stars and your eyes are the same.
Oh, this, oh this, this I will do. My charms. Oh, it's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, yeah. When the morning comes, I'll shade you from the sun. I'll until your dream is done. There's nothing I wouldn't do. What?
The story stays the same. As the years roll away. You'll always have my love till you die.
You'll always have my love. Now this, oh this, this I will do.
This I will do.
Oh, this I will do.
This I will do.
Oh, I will do anything for
this
you.
I will do.
Oh, this I will do.
New music, Robbie Celestin, This I Will, and that's off the limited edition CD that he did for the Second Sunday Show. New stuff, Robbie, from you. Is that a direction you want to go more into? I mean, you've always had that soulful R&B groove to you.
No, it's a very schizophrenic style I have, you know, because I was probably first trained in kind of a soul style of singing, mm-hmm. and then with my first band, I was doing more Zeppelin and a lot of U2 and stuff like that. So then I fell into that for a few years.
Then you did doo-wop,
and then did the doo-wop thing for years.
You were so good at doo-wop. That was a great group.
And that you know, where that started out as a typical doo-wop thing, and then we ended up just going crazy doing Bohemian Rhapsody and Sgt. Pepper's, singing the guitar parts and the, you know. We were kids, so there were no rules. We just made up our own rules, you know. And then it's kind of led me into this path of piano music or some jazz. And, you know, I was in Hawaii doing another, like a rock show, which was crazy. You know, so it's I like it so much. I like everything so much. And, mm-hmm. and realistically, I'm usually flicking channels or flicking styles. My favorite playlist that I have is just called Miscellaneous. And it'll go from like, my top five songs. Now, Under Pressure is one of my all-time favorites. You know, then that'll go into like a Temptations tune. And I like to sing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I like to write all that stuff.
Right.
You know, so there's always, you know, you can see a pattern. You see it leans toward the soul because my heart is there. but there's a reggae thing and a little bit of jazz thing. And, you know, a lot of it depends on who I work with. I like to work with different writers who have different styles, you know.
And so, you have an ever-evolving cast of sidemen and women,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes, and that helps, you know. Writing with people, you know. Again, I told you the upcoming tune, next release, is going to be a rock tune. And, you know, just had a straight-up rock guitarist come on board, a guy named Sam Varma, who's amazing. And it's fun. It's my little, it's almost like 70s rock meets 90s kind of rock, because mm-hmm. harmonic guitars. I can't wait till I have it ready for you.
But, wow.
But yeah, I like it all. I like it all, Tom, so I like doing it all.
And, you know, we were talking earlier, like when Ivy was on, and every one of the four songwriters for Songwriter Circle for Critters has that, I hate to use the term schizophrenic, but that's what you said, so I'll quote you on it. It just sounds very strange. Like, yeah, we're having nut job show here.
If this helps, but, Tom, the first thing, that voice prints thing I did, somebody was commenting on, well, it's all over the place stylistically.
Right.
And what I said was, no. The common thread of this CD is me. Because mm-hmm. you know what I hate? I hate when somebody writes a great reggae song and then they feel like, well, I better stay there. And what you get is a CD with 12 terrible reggae songs and the one good one.
Right, right. So that's what I like, is everyone's music takes you to different places with each song. And on that note, on the phone, we have Leslie Hunt. And Leslie, I first saw perform when she was with World Stage, one of Jim Peterick's projects, many, many years ago. And then, Robbie, when you and I were talking about putting this songwriter circle together, you brought up her name. And I thought, oh, my God, I just talked to her with District 97. I thought she was this hard rock chick, you know, that she had evolved into that. And then I find out, I go on her website and online, and I buy some of her earlier albums, and she's still got the pop groove. Then she sends me the piano picture, and it's like, okay, now it's very film noir looking, you know, with a girl at the piano. And I'm like, okay, who is this singer, Leslie Hunt? And let's find that out now. Leslie, how are you?
Great. How are you? What a great intro.
It's like, you know, you were all over the place. I didn't know how to categorize you. And I love that about music, when you can't put someone in a box. And, you know, it was like earlier today when I was missing in action and Tom Maloney was here and he mentioned bluegrass with you. And yes, you are rooted in bluegrass, Eric Lambert. But you said, no, it's Americana, because there's also folk and there's also blues and there's also this. Because we can't limit you anymore. We can't limit Leslie anymore. I mean, I loved when you were on last year with District 97 and hearing all that prog stuff you were doing. And then then I hear your new stuff and the new single, There You Are, which we're going to play shortly. And it's like you're reinventing yourself all the time. And it reminds me of Jim Peterick, who can do folk and bluegrass and rock and metal and everything. Tell us, Leslie, how you got started, and then we're going to have Eric play a song, and we're going to get to some of your stuff. But tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you. So I grew up in a house full of music. My mom and dad both had heavy jazz influences, but my mom was also quite a bit in musical theater. And my dad is a free jazz musician and drummer to this day, and had a real appreciation for extremely kind of out there. I mean, he was always blasting Frank Zappa in the house and, you know, Led Zeppelin and just really out there stuff. But mixed with, you know, I also heard a lot of the most famous songwriters like Joni Mitchell. They played a lot of Stevie Wonder. And so and my dad was a gigantic Beatles obsessed person. So like every car trip was the entire family four part harmony singing, you know, entire Beatles records start to finish. So, you know, I guess CDs at that time. So I don't know. So I have a pretty diverse childhood, musically speaking. And then when I discovered that I loved to write songs, I had already been playing the piano since I was four. So that seemed like the natural songwriting tool to begin. And then I kind of identified strongly with, you know, like a Fiona Apple, Tori Amos, kind of like deeply emotional, borderline, pretty disturbed, like angsty. Angsty teenager, you know, song that like is definitely about like the worst shadows of humanity. And then I guess over time, so that was the biggest way that I wrote songs. And then when I was on American Idol, they kind of noticed like, well, what kind of record would you make? Like, we don't know how, if you don't know what kind of record you'd make, we certainly don't either. And I feel like you need to, they were like, you need to pick something. You need to like pick a thing. And I was like, I can't, you guys, I can't.
Right.
And so I, you know, and I still can't, and I won't, I straight up won't. So it was a natural kind of post music school progression to get into District 97. Cause that was just such a great outlet for my more complex musical side.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had, you know, some solo stuff already that was more pop influence, maybe a little more like kind of jazz rock, but definitely more straight ahead. And I don't know. So I have, I guess, like alter egos, and I have a variety of musical itches that need to be scratched. And my most recent EP, I would say, has got more of like an, it's actually surprising. It's like a Nashville kind of feeling to it. And then I just wrapped up my next EP that comes out in September, and it's like straight up soul.
Wow.
So let's go, you know?
So the new one that's coming out that we're going to feature some songs from today, that is the Nashville based one, sort of.
I mean, it ended up sounding that way. I did hire a Nashville based mixing engineer, which I think kind of gave it some of that flavor, but the songwriting itself was already kind of going in that direction. You know, the instrumentation was pretty much like very warm, very, you know, I mean, there's a train beat on one of the songs, like, you know, sounds straight up country on one of them. But yeah, I think it came out awesome.
Well, I think we're going to have a great time. Again, if you're listening, you're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. And today's show, all both hours, features some great songwriters. Robbie Celestin's in studio. Eric Lambert and Shar in studio. We just heard from Ivy Ford. Leslie Hunt's joining us now by phone. We're hearing songs from all of them. This event is 100% benefiting animals at the Humane Society of Northwest Indiana. The venue, the production, everything's being donated. These incredible talents are donating their time, and we need to get some butts in the seats. We need to sell some tickets. We need to help these animals. The money from this are helping the Special Abused Funds, Hope's Fund, and Helen's Fund for cats, Hope's Funds for dogs, and tickets are very reasonable. Get online and find out more at brickartlive.com. You can buy your tickets right there. You can stop at the Record Bin, either store, and save the online fees and buy the tickets there. It's simple as that. You get a physical ticket, and it's got all four of their pictures on it. How cool is that? Anyway, we're talking about this event, and we're not going to give too much away, but we're just giving you a little sample of what this show is going to be like. It's going to be talking about songs, getting to know the writers, hearing some of their brand new music, and Eric and Shar are here, and Leslie just mentioned that Nashville sound and that country thing, and you have a lot of those roots in your music. And one of the things that we're going to talk to Leslie about, too, is where the ideas for the songs come from. Eric, you, when you were on here last time, you've been kind of looking around reality, the world we live in, how you can talk about the topicalness of it. You have a song now that you're going to do that really kind of sums up what we need, and that's a whole lot of love in this world. To kind of paraphrase John Lennon, you know, all we need is love if we get the world back on track.
It's not new, that's for sure.
Right.
It's not new at all, man.
Now, you've been writing some great stuff. You wrote songs about the civil unrest last time you were here.
Mm-hmm.
You've written songs now about the world coming together. You've written songs about dancing and having fun in a crazy world. You did a song for Earth Day about Mother Earth. So you're very rooted in things. And I like that. That takes me back to the songwriter days of the early 70s when people were kind of like looking at what we could do, the ecology stuff that was out there. You know, Jackson Brown and Greenpeace and all this stuff was going on. I was a member of Greenpeace for a long time back then. And actually, mine was more late 70s. But anyway, you guys kind of recaptured that. So what are you going to play for us here?
Well, you know, I thought we'd play We Need to Learn to Love Before It's Too Late, but I'm listening to everyone share, and I thought maybe I would do a tune called The Music Set Me Free.
Okay. It's your show right now. You do what you want to do. It's all good.
It's one of Shar's favorite tunes, and, you know, we recorded it for the new record, and, you know, there's not a great backstory behind it, except that, you know, I was meeting with my mentor who is in Nashville. So we meet on the phone, and I was out traveling and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the parking lot of a Starbucks talking to Carrie on the phone, and we pretty much wrote the tune on the phone that day.
Wow.
And she just has this way of dragging things out of me that I don't want to say.
And that's what this song was?
And this song was like that. And, you know, people use the word region a lot to categorize us and where we came from, so to speak. And this is about a lot of that.
Is this a newer song then from the new album?
It is. It'll okay. be on a new record that right. will be out in July.
Let's do it.
You ready, Freddie? All right. I was standing alone in a crowded room. Everyone was speaking their mind. Invisible though, they didn't have a clue about the me I was gonna find. I sat down with a friend, he was playing guitar. Showed me the chords to his tune. The clouds split wide open, I found my voice. A bright light took over the room. I'm in love with the world when I play the guitar. It's the best version of me. Not a care or a worry, not a wound or a scar. The music set me free. The music, it set me free. The guitar was my ticket out of the old neighborhood. The steel mills and running the streets. To stages and places I'd never have known. If I hadn't followed my dreams. I'm in love with the world when I play the guitar. It's the best version of me. Not a care or a worry, not a wound or a scar. The music set me free. The music, it set me free. I still have my fair share of problems. I can still hurt and blue I can be. But it gave me the courage to forge my own way. Live joyous and happy and free. I'm in love with the world when I play the guitar. It's the best version of me. Not a care or a worry, not a wound or a scar. The music set me free. Music, it set me free.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Yeah. Music setting us free. Eric Lambert and Char live in studio here on Lakeshore. Also in studio, Robbie Celestin on the phone, Leslie Hunt. We're going to play a song from her coming up next. Leslie, let's talk about songwriting. We were just talking about how Eric has kind of looked around the world and looked inside himself, and he's been focusing more in the past year and a half, 2 years, on the writing process as opposed to the performing and the guitar. You are incredibly prolific. It seems like every time I do check in with you, you've got a plethora of new music. And you're telling me you have a new album or a new EP coming out this summer. And you've already got one in fall plans. So clearly that hasn't changed. Let's talk about the songwriting. Where does it come from for you?
Thank you. Yeah. I am definitely a cluster writer. So it's funny, I was just talking with somebody the other day because I'm always kind of sitting on a batch of songs that I'm hesitant to finish until I can basically afford to record them, because my newest song is always my favorite song. So I'm hesitant to finish anything until I know I have the steam, you know, or I guess the funds to release it into the world. But I really, if you look at my solo kind of discography, there's a huge gap between my last one and now. And
was that the Hair album?
Well, I did Your Hair Is on Fire in 2009, and then I did Wait For It in 2011 or 12. I can never remember. I mean, that's a while ago. It's almost, you know, it's been a while. So I started writing like 2.5 years ago, and I wrote all these songs for the EP that comes out on June 25th called Ascend. I wrote all of that in a very short span of time. And then it was also right before the pandemic. So I recorded all of those songs, and then just a couple months later, like, the world shut down. So, and then the EP that's coming out in September was basically all themed around what we were going through as a species together. You know, I was very inspired by the change of pace, and I was inspired by the Black Lives Matter protests and the George Floyd protests. And I was incredibly inspired by suddenly having an open schedule and really having to be okay with this silence within myself that my busyness had never really let me experience. And with that silence, I wrote a bunch of new music, thankfully. And it was, it was very, very inspiring. And then to now finally have it all come together, I cannot wait. I literally finished it basically yesterday. My producer came into town, Christian Cullen, who is also of the World Stage Camp.
Right.
I've known him since I was 15. Yeah, so he's the producer behind these two EPs that I'm releasing this year. And he basically just came out here from Indianapolis, set up a little studio in my master bedroom closet, and we finished, you know, all my lead vocals and we did some production stuff together. And I even had Jerome Matthews Jr. come out and sing on a couple songs. So it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait.
And Ascend comes out in June, you said?
Yes, June 25th. It's a 7-song EP, and I gave you the link. So Yeah.
Well, let's play. Now, the one I think you're releasing as a single is There You Are. Is that correct? It's a very strong AAA contender.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, that's probably the most upbeat song on the record. I did a great music video that should be out, I guess, in about a week. It should be all finished, and hopefully I'll be able to release it shortly thereafter. But it's just a song about, I wrote it before the pandemic, but it really keeps remaining true. Just wherever you go, there you are.
All right, well, let's play it. Let's play it. This is Advanced Stuff from Ascend coming out in June. Leslie Hunt will be at the Songwriter Circle for Critters on Sunday, June 6th. Get information online at brickartlive.com for that. And let's play it. Jose, push the button.
What you gonna do? Thank you.
Truer words never spoken. Wherever you're going, there you are. All right, that's new music, Leslie Hunt. You're hearing it first here on Lakeshore Public Radio. That's off her new album, Ascend, coming out in June. And again, very, very AAA friendly, very commercial, and fun. It's one of those fun songs. So you said that was the most upbeat of the album, which I would agree with, having heard it. Why is that the only one that's in that vein?
That's a good question. I would say, just as a writer, I probably don't write a ton of upbeat songs overall. I have some on the next. I have quite a few actually on the next EP. But I would say overall, that's not what I find myself writing most naturally. I really kind of have to push myself to do it, and it's usually coming from kind of. I look back on all my most upbeat songs, and they're always quite a bit sassy. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily just like, oh, like I'm so happy and I've got all this joy and I want to write something upbeat. It's like I'm trying to get away with saying something pretty aggressive towards someone, but I like put it on like in a pretty upbeat way, so it's more easy to handle.
Oh. That's very Taylor Swift of you.
I suppose so. Yeah, it's like passive aggressive.
Well, now you play piano and guitar. Do you write on piano or do you write on guitar or both?
I write on both.
Okay. Is either one your favorite instrument or you share your love of them equally?
I actually share my love of them equally. I would say I'm probably a way better piano player than I am guitar player, but I enjoy playing guitar more than I enjoy playing piano just because piano feels like a very kind of easy extension of myself. But then guitar, I really have to think about, and I love how rhythmic it is, and I love how it feels, and I love how little I know about it. So it's almost like I'm more inspired by the guitar because of that limitation. I don't know. I like the percussive end of it, and then just it naturally just feels like it has more energy. When I try to play piano upbeat, it feels like more of like a mellow kind of emotional instrument to me.
Okay, unless you're Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, which I am not.
So. Speaking of guitars, Eric Lambert, who's here in the studio, will be with you on stage, is one of the best flat pick guitar players, in my opinion, in the whole country. So if you need a little tip, I'm sure he can give it to you. But that said, all of you, I didn't ask Ivy, and shame on me for that, all of you are also teachers. Leslie, yes. You teach. Eric, you teach. Robbie, you do voice lessons. I don't know if Ivy does or not. But it's kind of neat that not only are you sharing your songs and things, you're also sharing a love of music with those coming next in line. How much of the teaching aspect encompasses your career? Let's start with Eric first.
Well, this past year, of course, it's been about 90%.
Virtual.
You know, I had a couple of fellas who just weren't comfortable over the computer, and they actually came out to the studio. But it's been an incredible year for learning, upgrading my knowledge of technology, upgrading my gear.
Mm-hmm. And you have DVDs out too, right? Or online? I know you get visuals, recorded stuff, too.
There's visuals online, but DVD products are available from True Fire.
Okay. I knew you had some of that stuff out there, so you could kind of learn on your time, you know.
Well, you can watch. Well, there's a couple of my courses on TrueFire.com that you can watch.
Okay.
24/7, anytime. But I've had a lot of fun expanding my client base and learning the technology and finally producing things that look and sound great from my studio, teaching wise around the world.
Robbie, what about you? You do voice lessons. I imagine voice lessons are kind of hard to do virtual.
Yeah, it's weird. I used to do it a lot many, many years ago, and I noticed the voice lessons were killing my shows though, so I had to stop because I would do like 2 8-hour days of voice lessons on a Tuesday and Thursday, and then just had to stop. But oddly enough, man, it's fun to drop this name. Tim Cregan of the Bare Naked Ladies. Mm-hmm. I had him on my podcast, and we just became friends. And he asked me if I'd give some lessons to his son. And we just tried it over Zoom, and it was easier than I thought, because it's really, you have to stop and listen. But most people, for my purposes, they don't want theory from me. They want technique. They want I get people listening to my tracks, and I want to learn to do that thing you did in the second verse, you know? and oddly enough, I don't know, it was out there in the universe. I don't know. I'd said nothing about lessons, but after I started working with his son, a couple people started reaching out to me, which happens. And I usually turn them over to someone else, but I had the time. I had that pandemic time.
Yeah.
You know, so now I just give a couple lessons. It's great. Okay. It's a lot of fun, though. It's fun.
Leslie, last time you were on talking about District 97, you were telling me that you were doing a lot of lessons, both piano and voice. Are you still doing that? And how did you develop it for virtual during the pandemic?
Yeah, thanks. I also teach songwriting lessons, too, just some like young aspiring songwriters, and those are really, really fun, and I teach a little ukulele, too, and guitar, but just beginner, and then I have to quickly hand them off to someone else once they become better than I am. So for me, the teaching was, I really ramped it up over the pandemic, kind of like Robbie said, where it's like, I have the time, like, you know, and I think with the combination of all the vocal rest that I was experiencing and all the technique stuff that I was teaching, you know, and all the healthy singing and the, all those healthy, placement things that you're teaching these kids that, doing that so many hours a day and then going back to gigging, I have never sang better in my life as I am right now with just a year of honing the technique, just even with kids. Doing that all day and then not really doing big, powerful gigs. Like, wow, it's been really cool to see how all that year of basically, like, I think a lot of my musician friends just really went inward over this period of time and went in on the craft and like kind of got in the woodshed with their instruments and with what they do. And it's like, I cannot wait to hear what everybody's been up to.
Yeah, well,
a
lot of the guests I've had, both from England, all over the country, all different levels of musicianship, recording success, they've all been doing that. They're all like, well, we had a lot of time on our hands. So we either went back and tweaked this, or we started writing new songs, or we went back and found our old albums and fixed them. And now we're happy with them. And there was a lot of that going on. I don't think anybody sat idle and, you know, became couch potatoes ordering on Uber Foods or something. I think you guys, all the real musicians out there, really use that time to let their inner beasts out, so to speak.
Right.
And I think we're going to see this rich groundswell of amazing music coming in the next 2 years. I really feel that. It's going to be the right time for music, and it's certainly the right time for the Songwriter Circle on Sunday, June 6th. We're going to have some fun at the end. We're gonna have a little get-together of all the great talents. So we're not going to give it away, but we're going to have some fun where everybody stays around. We're going to do two sets with everyone. I'm going to play another song. We're going to get to one from Robbie before we leave, and I'm going to play another one from you, Leslie, while we have you. And that is the first one on the EP is Starting Over. That's next to There You Are and Wolf Cried Boy, which I love the title of that, Wolf Cried Boy.
Thank you.
And then Starting Over. Those are probably my favorites off of this so far, but that could change tomorrow when I re-listen to it. Let's do Starting Over. Is there a story behind this?
So this was actually the first of the batch. I was going through a breakup, and it felt like a very healthy, very mutual, very adult kind of like, you know what, this has run its course. This is, you know, it's been good for me for a long time. And I think now it's time for us both to move on. It just felt very like amazingly mature. Mm-hmm. And I just sat down and I hadn't written a single dang song in that whole relationship, but then as soon as it was over, it was like all of a sudden like, go for it, girl, like just write something, for God's sakes, it's been so long, you need to just write some songs, like, you know. And so I just sat down and was just like, I'm like really good at like starting over, like, you know, I'm really resilient, it's one of my best kind of qualities. And it was just a song about starting from scratch again and again and being good at it.
And it kind of sums up this past year. We're all starting over some way.
Holy cow. That's not, yeah, that's true.
All right. From Ascend, the album coming from Leslie Hunt in June, this is Starting Over.
Crossing it off before the word is written. Excusing myself before my plate is clean. Somebody hears me with ears wide open. Somebody cares, and that someone is me.
Of us can relate to that from the pandemic, gathering a few grains of salt that we can apply to our life moving forward as things start over. And, you know, I like the line in there, Leslie, never too late to learn a new trick.
Oh, yeah.
That's why probably my favorite line in that song, because I think, you know, a lot of times people will talk to me and say, oh, you know, I've done this. And I always say, you know, I'm too old to learn that stuff. And that song kind of makes me a liar. It's like, okay, Leslie says I can, so maybe I have to.
Yeah.
So we're going to have fun. Now, last time we talked on the Zoom, you were kind of not sure. You thought you were going to come out by yourself, but then you were saying you might have accompaniment. Have you decided that yet?
You know, I think I would like Lloyd Snyder to join me on stage. He's my boyfriend, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention how inspired I felt since we started dating to write and write and write. I love showing him songs, and we actually co-wrote a couple on this next EP. He just makes me sound so much better.
Isn't new love grand? It always inspires us to do all these things.
I know. It's like we become like superhuman versions of ourselves. And so, I mean, we've been together for a little over 2 years. And he's going to join me on stage, I think. He's coming either way. He was just going to come and hang out and, you know, enjoy the show. But I think I would like him to come up and join. He's an incredible guitar player and singer, and he really compliments these songs.
Well, he's very welcome. He's very welcome. We look forward to meeting him.
All right.
And where do we follow you at? Where can the listeners keep up with you? Is there a website, Facebook page?
Yeah, my website is lesliehuntmusic.com. And my Facebook is facebook.com/Leslie. Oh, boy. I don't think I actually know that off the top of my head. But it's not. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Twitter. You can find me on all the places for sure. Okay.
And the one question that people have asked me when they've seen the poster and the flyers are like, she looks so familiar. I watch American Idol, but I can't remember what season. What season were you on?
I was on season 6 in 2007.
Okay, and you were a finalist on that, so congrats on that.
I was a semi-finalist. I guess it says finalist because sometimes it's like top 10 female finalists, but like I was top 20. Like I don't want to be out here misrepresenting how far I got.
Okay.
But yeah, I was top 20, and it was still pretty darn cool out of 104,000 people. So
well, you're a finalist at the Songwriter Circle, and you are on the radio with me, so what more do you need?
No kidding.
She's in the top 4 of that show.
That's right. She's in the top 4 of that show.
Yeah.
She's one of the top 2 females. So there you go.
We keep whittling it.
Leslie on music.com is where you'll find her. You'll find her on stage at the Hobart Art Theater, a classic venue. Please join us. Help out the animals. Leslie, I know you're a dog person because on the Zoom, your little dog was on your lap. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Have you always been an animal person?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I absolutely was. I thought for sure when I was a kid I was going to like have a farm and I would just pet them all day and take care of them and not necessarily like slaughter them or anything.
Uh-huh. Just so, have a lot of pets.
Yeah, I just wanted a lot of pets. And then I actually the only career I ever considered outside of music was to be a dog trainer. Like I went to college like a little online college course for that. So, I'm really into pets and dogs and yeah.
Cool. I believe we're going to have, and again, public, don't quote me, but I believe we're going to have a couple of animals joining us at the Hobart Art Theater for this event. We normally do when it's a musical event because the animals love music and the musicians love the animals. So we'll probably have a few little critters out there that will be adoptable. So we're looking forward to that. So again, join us. You'll hear a lot more from Leslie and you'll hear from Ivy, who we had on the first hour and still in studio, Robbie, Eric, and Char. And Leslie, we're going to let you go. So thank you again and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you. I cannot wait. Thank you so much, Tom. See you guys soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Robbie, we need to play another song from you. And we're going to try and take it out with some live music here. So let's do another song off this limited edition. Are these still available? Will you have these for sale at the Circle?
Probably not. Now it'll just be a waiting game for the brand new CD. But if I have a few of these left over, I'll bring them by.
This is a cool little collection. It's got 6 songs.
It's a couple covers that I've never released, so that's fun.
Earth Angel. Earth Angel. You do that so well.
Yeah.
All right, wasting my time. This is an original song, and you said it was inspired by the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, I think like all musicians and people who were put out of work for a while with the pandemic, we were all hustling and working and working, and I was working, and I found some things to keep me busy and keep me working, thank goodness. And it was musical, thank goodness. But then I started to stress anytime I took a break, and it really started to bother me. And I came to the notion, well, wait a minute. Sometimes doing nothing is everything.
Yes.
And I remember that phrase, and then I came up with this song called Wasting My Time. And the whole song is basically saying, listen, if I decide to sit down on the couch because I need to take a break, I'm not wasting my time. I'm feeding my patience, feeding my soul. So folks out there, if you decide you need to do nothing, you are not wasting your time.
So it's okay to be a couch potato and have Uber Eats. All right. I just got done saying how all these musicians didn't do that. And here's Robbie saying, but it's okay.
Take a seat. Yeah.
Have a big burrito. Let's play it. Wasting my time.
Nothing at all might seem like I'm losing part of my mind. Every day's like the one before. I'm looking for a foothold I can find. I'm not an unreasonable man, but the walls are getting much too close, and I have nothing but time. I won't take less, so I gotta take the most. I'm not, I'm not, I'm
wasting my time. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my time. Okay, maybe just a pause. Cup of coffee as my backside hooks the couch. My body just settles in. My brain tells me, boy, don't be a slouch. I take a deep breath and then take another so my heart can feel at rest. Life is moving much too fast. I'm getting tired of every single test. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my time. Taking a breath is never a waste. Oh, why are we scared to be lazy? Just take a day so we don't go crazy. Don't go crazy. Assess your mind. What you see might make your heart go blind. Listen to these words I sing. Sometimes nothing is everything. Oh, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my time.
Sunday, June 6th, Hobart Art Theater, Songwriter Circle for Critters, helping out the Humane Society of Northwest Indiana, 100% of the proceeds. We've got some great door prizes we're going to be raffling off, signed stuff from great songwriters, including a Grammy winner. I want to remind everyone you can keep up with Ivy Ford at ivyfordmusic.com, lesliehuntmusic.com for Leslie. Guys, give us your websites real quick.
RobbieCelestin.com, R-O-B-B-Y, not I-E. Okay. RobbieCelestin.com.
EricLambert.com, EricAndShard.org.
All right. Yeah. We are just about out of time. Chef Nick's Let's Eat's coming up next, but let's play it out. What do you want to do? Let's close out with something live.
Oh, let's do that. We need to learn to love before it's too late.
All right. Eric and Char, one final time. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Char and Leslie and Ivy. We'll see you all Sunday, June 6th. Let's do it.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Jose.
Yeah. I first met Jimmy when I went to high school. He was a black boy and I was a white. We loved music. It's all that mattered. We told the old folks it'd be all right. We used to hang out, play the guitar, drank lots of beer in his daddy's old car, saw lots of shows at a club downtown, went out and got some breakfast when the sun come around. No one was born here racist, no one was born here to hate. We only know what we've always been taught. We need to learn to love before it's too late. We need to learn to love before it's too late. My mom and dad, they were raised down south. Never heard a hateful word come out of their mouth. Back in my hometown, the message I'd hear came from misguided souls full of anger and fear. No one was born here a racist. No one was born here to hate. We only know what we've always been taught. We need to learn to love before it's too late. We need to learn to love before it's too late. Sunday, heard there been trouble at the bus stop near the liquor store on Saturday night, where a broken old drifter was living a nightmare. He shot down poor Jimmy, then he took his own life. Jimmy left a mother, sister, and a brother. The world kept on spinning, but my best friend was gone. He could have been president. He could have cured cancer. I cried and I cried, Lord, it was so wrong. No one was born here racist. No one was born here to hate. We only know what we've always been taught. We need to learn to love before it's too late. We need to learn to love before it's too late.